My brothers and sisters, today is Gaudete Sunday. Does anybody know what Gaudete means? Well, it means rejoice. So today is Rejoice Sunday. And I don't think it could have come at a better time. Don't you think? I mean, we are most likely standing on the threshold of a multifaceted, worldwide crisis of unprecedented proportions. Political corruption, abusive behavior, and violence are common topics in our daily news these days, aren't they? There seems to be a never-ending daily stream of natural disasters, floods, fires, violent storms, earthquakes, and scary diseases breaking out all over the place. We are on the verge of or in the midst of several wars that we cannot win. The war against terror, the war on drugs, the war against illegal immigrants. There's a war on poverty. There are wars against the poor, against the condemned, and against the unborn. And yet it was precisely during times like these that the prophets of old were sent to bring glad tidings and release of prisoners, and to proclaim liberty and healing to a broken and suffering world. I mean, conditions were absolutely deplorable during Isaiah, Jeremiah, and most of the other prophets' times of visitation. And then, at the time of John's appearance in the desert, Israel was being crushed under the violent and oppressive and inhumane occupation of the Roman Empire. That's no joke. Extreme poverty was the norm for almost everyone, and disease was rampant in those days. Taxes were unbearable, and most of life was simply a desperate struggle for survival for most of the people. Now, in the face of all of that, though, John the Baptist came to give testimony to the light of new hope and a message of great joy. Can you imagine? Now, what do you think it was that gave John the ability to cut through such incredible obstacles and become such a powerful witness to God's promises of peace and joy and new life? Well, I believe that the answer lies in John's deep and abiding humility. Yes, humility. When the priests, Levites, and Pharisees interrogated him about who he was and what he was about, John's humble response was simply, "Hey guys, I'm just a little voice. I'm just a little cry in the wilderness. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the great prophet. I'm not any kind of great leader or anything like that. I'm simply pointing the way to one who is far more significant than I am." Sisters and brothers, I believe that John's humility was his finest testimony to the light. And that was much more powerful than anything he ever said or did, for that matter. And John's humility is just a foretaste of what was to come in the life and ministry of Jesus. The humble servant that did not meet anyone's expectations of what a Messiah was supposed to look like. But you see, John's amazing humility is his testimony to us as well. To you and me. I mean, how often do you or I dismiss as being rather unimportant someone who doesn't have the credentials that we expect to see? More often than not, we refuse to listen or receive what they have to offer, closing ourselves off to the possibility of receiving wisdom or insight from those little ones that God places in our lives every day. Our own children, maybe. The person working under our supervision. A simple grocery store clerk. A waitress. Or maybe your elderly neighbor. And yet at the same time, we hold up as great models of faith and wisdom people like Simon Peter, John the Baptizer, or Mary, the mother of Jesus. All these little ones indeed, who possess none of the credentials that we would normally expect to find in a great prophet or a great leader. And yet every single one of them capable of cutting through the difficulties and the tragic circumstances of our world to give testimony to God's promise of new hope and a message of great joy. Consider this story. There was once a principal who visited the first grade and ask the students, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" A hand shot up in the back of the class immediately. And a little voice cried out, "I want to be possible." "Possible?" the principal asked. "Of all the things you might be, why do you want that?" The lad replied, "Because my mom and dad are always saying that I'm impossible." You see, sisters and brothers, humility is not a self-put-down, but rather it's the realization of the truth about ourselves. All that we are, all that we have, and all that we do comes from another, from God. And all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do is for the sake of others as well. And it's the incredible power of humility that makes straight the way of the Lord. And a humble attitude opens our eyes to the truth. Pride, arrogance, fear, and jealousy only blind us. You see, when we walk in humility, our witness becomes true power. An anointing from the Lord to bring glad tidings and heal the brokenhearted, to liberate captives wherever they may be, and to expose the truth that sets us free finally. And finally, it is the spirit of humility that makes it possible for us to rejoice in our God like we did in our psalm today, which is actually the Magnificat, Mary's amazing prophetic prayer about the true nature of humility. Just consider for a moment our Blessed Mother, the perfect model of humility. What did she announce in her Magnificat? She said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Why? Well, she says it's because he's looked upon his humble and lowly servant. And it is from that perspective, from this day, all generations will call me blessed. And so, brothers and sisters, on this Rejoice Sunday, let's you and me make a straight way for the Lord. Let us ask ourselves what our lives most closely resemble: the arrogance and self-righteousness of the scribes, Nephites, and Pharisees, or the power of humility like John and Mary and Jesus. Who are we? What are we about? What do we have to say for ourselves?